ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनाववतु सहक्रीम ओम क्रीम ओम So in all these classes we had till now, we are clear about the purusharthas. Remember the word purushartha? I told you, purushaha literally means man. But in this context, purushaha means manushyaha, a human being. And word arthaha literally means wealth. But here, as a purusharthaha means a human pursuit, a human goal. So, we saw all the goals, okay, all the goals man wants to accomplish in one's life. Whatever wants to accomplish in one's life is his goal. And all of them are categorized and classified into four groups as Artha, Kama, Dharma and Moksha. And all the ends, all the goals are equally important. All are pursued simultaneously. And all are sought always. And I said the Artha, Kama, Dharma, the three ends together, we can call, say, they are known as prayers. I'm introducing a new word, okay? Prayers. Artha, Kama, Dharma, the three goals, three human pursuits are together known as prayers. I can say pursuit of Artha, Kama, Dharma, or I can say pursuit of prayers. And Mokshaha is Shreyas. We divide the four pursuits into two as what? Prayers and Shreyas.
Prayers as in English word prayers or prayers as in
prayers. P-R-E-Y-A-S. Prayers in Sanskrit word it is.
Right.
Prayer. Yeah, sorry. Oh, this is the word English prayer is there, okay? Mm-hmm. Prayers.
Prayers.
Yeah, prayers and Shreyas.
Shreyas.
Yeah, prayers and Shreyas. Artha, Kama, Dharmas together mean prayers. And moksha means Shreyas. I already, you know what is artha, what is kama, what is dharma. I'm introducing this in other words. I want to know prayas and Shreyas. Like, you know, Vedaha, another word for Veda is Shruti. You know that. I taught you only here. And here, these, all the four are important. No pursuit is said to be inferior or unwanted. No pursuit is to be ignored. But we know every pursuit serves its own purpose. It's like, suppose when I give you a tablet for headache, and then I can't, the person who doesn't have headache cannot say it is useless. He may not need it. I don't need the headache tablet. Why? Because I don't have headache. That's all I can say. I cannot say it is useless. Why? It is useful for the one who has headache. Understand? Similarly, so, okay, headache table is there, tablet is there. If I take the headache tablet, it will, suppose if I have headache tablet can only cure headache. Okay? So, removal of the headache is the purpose served by the headache tablet. Understand? That is the advantage of taking the head medicine, that tablet. Why? What is the advantage? It removes the headache. And what is the limitation of it? Everything in his life is useful. It serves a given purpose. It is of some use. But it wants it. It is. It want. It has everything has its own limitation. In the sense what? Just because I take headache tablet, that doesn't mean it will solve all my other problems. Understand? It will remove only headache. So it is not totally useless. It serves a purpose, but it has limitation. What's the limitation? Other than curing, to get the headache cured, this is the medicine. But other than headache, it cannot cure any other problem. Isn't it? So understand the limitation. So similarly here, so we can't say useless. It serves a purpose. Similarly, when you say artha, we can't say artha is useless. Artha is very important. One has to pursue artha. Artha, what artha can give you is infrastructure. To live this life comfortably, you need an infrastructure. Understand? So, you need a house, you need a shelter, I mean you need some food, you need clothing, and you need to have everything here. All that you need to live. Infrastructure is what artha. Understand? Similarly, so artha, what artha cannot give is what? Moksha. Understand? So, artha is important. We should know the advantage of every pursuit. We should know the usefulness of every pursuit. We know the importance of every pursuit. At the same time, we should also know the limitation of every pursuit. What it cannot do. Understand? So, artha is important. Artha can give me infrastructure. So, with kama, the pleasures also make me, keep me, keep me in good humor for length of time. Any pleasure. It can't make me happy always. Similarly, pursuit of dharma, living a life of values, as said, is very important. But that itself, merely being ethical is not enough. Why? Because happiness is something, happiness means limitlessness. Understand? Happiness means limitlessness. Being limited, being dependent, being limited is being, unhappy. Therefore, being limitless is being happy. Limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, it is something nature of the reality, something to be understood, something to be attained. Therefore, even dharma, living a life of dharma is important, but that itself will not make me happy. It is what is it which will make me happy? It is the knowledge of the reality, parambrule patriya jnaname is the only means. Knowledge of the reality, the only means for freedom from all limitations, all dependences and unhappiness. Understand? Yeah, that is why knowledge also is what? Knowledge is a choiceless end. I told you first, knowledge of the reality is the means to accomplish the end called mokshaha. Thereafter I said, knowledge of the reality itself is mokshaha. Is it clear? Means and the end are identical. They are not two different things. Why I said that before? Because if I do not know what is illumining power, vilanga chaira shakti of the sun, if I do not know what is illumining power of the sun, it means what? I do not know what the word sun means. Knowing what the sun is itself is what? Knowing what the illumining power is. There are two different things. Knowledge of the sun is the only means to understand what is the illumining power. First I said that. Our knowledge of the fire is the only means to understand what heat is. So, understand? So, knowledge of the heat is the end and knowledge of fire is the means. First I say means and the end. Thereafter I say, means itself becomes the end. Why? When I know the fire, simultaneously, I also know what the heat is. Understand? There are two different things. First, we have to understand that. Then I say, knowledge and the means and the end are identical. Jnaname mokshaha. First I say, mokshatrukku jnanam sadhanam, moksham sadhyam. Thereafter I say, jnaname mokshaha. Jnanam itself is mokshaha. Knowledge of the reality itself is freedom from limitations, freedom from unhappiness. So, what I say, discovery of the reality is the discovery of what limitlessness is. There are two different things. Is it clear? Just in between, I want to say before we go, proceed further. Then, so you know very well, and to have the knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the reality of the universe is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge. Understand? Not as an object of knowledge. Even though, when I say, listen carefully, with reference to wave, okay, water is the reality, water is the self, water is the truth. Understand? And for the entire ocean also, water is the self and the reality. And every wave, has to say, okay, whether just the form and the name, the wave itself is wave, or water is the wave, or wave is water. In the sense, every wave is not mere form and name. The wave, every wave is water, isn't it? Now every wave has to say what the I. If a wave says, I am a wave, knowledge is incomplete of the self. Understand? The wave says, I the wave am the water. That's fine. Understand? Therefore, for the I of every wave is one and the same. Is it clear now? Similarly, here I say, the self in the reality of the whole universe is available for recognition. Okay? Only as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge. I'm going to explain to that today. Okay, I'm going to explain that today. Then, therefore, we need a very special means of knowledge. Why I have to say here? Why do we need to use a means of knowledge other than the senses? Why can't I use my eyes or nose or things? Understand? To have knowledge of anything external to the body, any object, then I can use my senses as means of knowledge. Because here the reality of the universe is available for understanding as the subject of knowledge, I need a very special means of knowledge, that is Shastram. That's why I told you last class, through the eyes, we see the whole universe. The eyes see everything. But when the eyes have to look at themselves, see themselves, they can't see. The eyes, now if you have to see something, well, is there any dead spot, you know, in the eye? If your eyes have to see themselves, then eyes cannot see themselves. You are a reflecting mirror, media. Okay? Even then, eyes only have to see, eyes only see everything. And these poor eyes, to look at themselves, how they look. Eyes can see how the leaf looks, how the petal looks, how that looks, how the light is, how the form is, how the shape is, how the jagat is, everything, the eyes can look at everything. Understand? But the eyes have to see themselves, they cannot see. They need some reflecting mirror. How the eyes look. Suppose the eyes want to know how the eyes look. How this leaf looks. What is the color of it? What is the shape of it? Look at it. How is that? Look at it. But how the eyes look? They can't see themselves. You need a reflecting mirror. Similarly, to know everything, understand, you can use the sense organs. And to know, in fact, what the self is, you need a reflecting mirror. So, what is reflecting mirror here? Words of the Shastram serve as reflecting mirror. Okay, they will reflect the very nature of the self when they are unfolded by the teacher properly. Competent teacher who knows the Sampradaya. So, I told you about that. Therefore, we have the Vedanta Shastram. I explained to you what Vedanta Shastram is all about. And I'll be explaining throughout again and again. So, we have Shastram as a means of knowledge. And we have the Sampradaya with teacher who can unfold the words of the Shastram. Can help me understand the nature of the self. Everything is fine. End is very clear. Means is very clear. And to accomplish, we know means and the end are one and the same. To have the knowledge, I need a means of knowledge, which is Shastram, Vedanta Shastram. And to understand the words of the Vedanta Shastram, I need a Sampradaya with teacher. So I got a teacher also. And having got the teacher, having got the textbook, everything is ready. I know the value of knowledge, I know the value of moksha, everything, I'm ready. Are you qualified? Then what's the qualification? Very, very important. I tell you, accomplishing moksha is nothing. Very, very simple. Very easy. Accomplishing moksha means what? Mokshate aridal means what? Mokshate aridale adedal. Okay? Understanding, knowing what the word happiness means. Rambutan, care of rambutan. Don't forget it. Okay? I told you that. It's the name of a fruit from Sri Lanka, special fruit. And I got into big trouble. That's why I'm reminding them of
it. We used this example the other day to explain to someone. Yeah.
Yeah, rambutan is my favorite now.
Oh, yes.
Now, why I'm saying, because I remember that, okay? Why I'm saying ignorance of what that is. No, ma. Ignorance, always ignorance veils things. Understand? Ignorance veils. Therefore, we say, what is that which keeps us away from, why there are kurehal? Kurehal implies what? All problems and inadequacy. In short, okay? All the problems we have in life, or anything which seems to be a very huge, big mountain-like problem for us. Everything makes us feel burdens us. Makes you very tired and depressed and dejected and everything upsetting, always discomfort. Some problem, everything now troubles us. Why? All this inadequacy, any inadequacy, is not because you are unhappy. Because they're all there, you're unhappy. Understand? That is because you do not know what happiness is. Unhappiness or sorrow or sadness or grief or any degree of pain is not caused by, not due to what you have or what you do not have or what comes in life. All these problems are because of your lack of knowledge of what happiness is.
So if we know what real happiness is, we would never be unhappy.
Yeah, unhappy. Okay? Yeah. That's the secret. That is the secret. Otherwise, Shastras say, you think the problem is because of that, because of this, and that's not true. Shastram says, our Paramatananda Swami says in Chennai, ore dose udane close. He uses the word. One dose immediately close. Now he says it in Tamil. Now when he says this, he uses English and Tamil mixed. That's very funny. So what he says? Now why I'm saying here? Now this is all that is ignorance of what happiness is the problem. Understand? Therefore, if ignorance of what happiness is the problem, only solution is knowledge of what happiness is the solution. Understand? Therefore, knowing what happiness is, in fact, discovering what happiness is, in fact, becoming free from unhappiness. Understand? I want to understand this. I'm repeating it because the foundation must be very, very, very clear before we enter into the actual Shastra study. Introduction to Vedanta is very clear. Must be very clear. Understand? Therefore, if happiness is all, that's why knowing is attaining, accomplishing, achieving. Knowing what happiness is attaining moksha. And to know what happiness is, you need to know what the reality is. And to know, therefore, discovering what happiness is very, very simple, very easy. It is not at all difficult. Why? Knowing what the reality is knowing what happiness is. Oh, that means we understand only now there is something called absolute reality, and we do not know that reality exists, first of all. Second thing, we do not know what that reality is. Parambarana irukkune theriyadhu. Understand? And irukkunnu konjam sandeham. Because then we do not know what exactly that parambarul is. That is why ignorance of what the absolute reality is, in fact, ignorance of what it looks like, okay? I mean, what is the nature of it? If you do not know what the milk is, how can you know this color is white? Now, I know color of the milk is white, but I don't know what milk is. If you say, who will believe? Understand? If you are ignorant of the color of the milk, definitely you are ignorant of the object called milk. Isn't it? Similarly, if you are ignorant of what happiness is, that means you are ignorant of what the absolute reality is. Not only are you ignorant of what the absolute reality is, you are ignorant of the very existence of the absolute reality. You do not know that there is absolute reality. We never thought. When you think, yeah, there must be something. Therefore, knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what happiness is. Happiness is equal to what? Limitlessness. I told you to remove this word. I'm going to explain the limitlessness word later on, not now. Therefore, attaining moksha is very simple. Why? Because knowing what the reality is knowing what happiness is. Therefore, knowledge of reality also is very, very simple. It's not all paramparule aridal miha miha ilidhu. Okay? And then, therefore, mokshatthi aridalum miha miha ilidhu. Very, very easy. But what is difficult? To become qualified for knowledge is very difficult. To get admission for MBBS, or medicine or engineering or any degree is very, very easy. Understand? But entrance, ask for intention, people who really work hard for that. But to become qualified for that, what is that? To become mentally pure and steady. Oh my God, steadying the mind. Becoming pure mentally. Mental purity and mental steadiness, this involves really effort and difficulty. Understand? That is why once your purushartha nischayaha is there, once you are definite about the ultimate end being choiceless, okay, that moksha being choiceless and ultimate end, once you know the moksha is nothing but knowledge of the reality, okay, then it is very clear But for that knowledge, the qualification required for knowledge, I had to understand, I had to become qualified for that knowledge. For that, only one way. What's that way? Living a life of karma yoga is the only way, only means. Therefore, life of living a life of karma yoga is the only way how I can prepare myself, I can become qualified for knowledge. Therefore, karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. Knowledge is the direct means for moksha. Karma yoga becomes what? Indirect means for moksha. So, last class I explained to you what is karma yoga. I think two classes spoke to you about karma yoga. I had talked. Okay, so karma yogi lives a life of values and he always uses his willpower. That means he chooses to do the right actions. He refrains from the wrong actions using his buddhi, willpower. And to be able to do the right always, to avoid the wrong, to have the strength to live like a dharma, he's always highly prayerful. He seeks Bhagavan's grace. And he's highly thankful to Bhagavan. I explained to you what worship means. Didn't I? What is worship also explained to you? He also worshipful. Therefore, he lives a life of dharma, values. He's a very, very, very committed to a life of, he's determined to live a life of values. Therefore, he's highly ethical. And because he's prayerful and worshipful, he is religious. And why? Because he's committed to the pursuit of knowledge. And he has an attitude in all his actions. He performs his actions and attitude of offering to Bhagavan. Ishwara Arpana Buddhya. I told you. And whatever comes in life, he accepts with the sameness of mind, without complaining, okay, or lamenting, mourning about things. He remains unshaken by anything which comes in life. That is very strong person. It shows his strength. He is able to accept anything with sameness of mind because he looks at everything as prasada. Once you give gift from Bhagavan, if he can relate to everything that happens in life as prasada, he can accept it with sameness of mind. And to be able to look at everything as prasada, why? Because he looks at it, no? He knows the results are ordained by the natural laws. And those natural laws are non-separate from Ishvara, which is everything. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan, which is not Bhagavan. Therefore, natural laws are also Bhagavan. They determine the results of actions. Understand? Therefore, he is able to look at, he knows the subtle fact of the results being ordained by the natural laws. And he is able to look at the natural laws being non-separate from Ishvara, Bhagavan. Therefore, he just is able to look at everything and anything which comes in life as prasada. Because he is able to look at everything as prasada, he has the sameness of mind, which is very, very important. Pleasure does not make him feel elated. Okay? And pain does not make him feel dejected and depressed. He remains thunbam varumbodham, inbam varumbodham. He remains the same. Why? Because he is able to look at his prasada. And that, looking at everything, accepting anything and everything which comes in life with the sameness of mind as prasada, prasada buddhi, na, makes him converts. All these things, his attitude with which he performs actions, you know, how he, knowing the value of values, how he is committed to live a life of dharma, you know, with which attitude he looks at everything, whatever comes in life, how he remains the same, all these things contribute for his, you know, mental purity. Understand? Therefore, anything which converts, anything which contributes for mental purity is what? Yoga. So all the work he does also becomes what? Yoga. So you can never do karma yoga. Understand? You only do karma. But the karma, with the attitude with which you do the karma, that converts the karma into karma yoga. People say, I do karma yoga. No. Understand? You never do karma yoga. Karma yoga is not, understand, it's wrong expression. Na karma yogam pandren. People say that, anna, I'm karma yogam pandren. Hey, you can never do karma yoga. Always we do karma. Understand? All of us do karma only. But it is the attitude with which you do, how you look at the situations in life, what is the attitude you have towards all the situations in life, which or every situation in life, the attitude with which you perform the karma, and how committed you are to the values, those things convert your karma into yoga. So what is yoga? Yoga, with reference to the word karma yoga, yoga means எதுவெல்லாம் வாழ்க்கையில் ஞானத்திற்கு மனதை பக்குவமுடையதாக ஏற்றதாக செய்கிறதோ அதுவெல்லாம் யோகா. Anything which prepares the mind for knowledge, anything which contributes for the emotional maturity, anything which contributes for the purity of the mind is what yoga. Okay? These are the attitudes and the commitment to values make your karma yoga. Therefore, there's no other way. Living a life of karma yoga is the only way to become mentally pure. And even practice of meditation also becomes yoga only if purushartha nischayaha is there. Only if the end is very clear. If the end is not very clear, then meditation also becomes a just mental exercise. Okay, if you do not know, if you do not involve Ishvara, Bhagavan in one's life, if you do not involve, there's no clarity about the end being moksha, there's no knowledge of the value of, if you do not know the value of knowledge, if a person is not committed to the pursuit of knowledge, if there's no understanding of the importance of, having pure and steady mind, if there's no knowledge of the value of values, if one cannot live a life of values, or even if a person lives a life of values, still, if there's no connection, then I tell you, if you simply practice meditation, it's purely an exercise. If you practice pranayama, it's purely an exercise. It's good. It will keep your body fit and healthy. Okay? But it is not yoga. Why? The end is not clear. Minus Bhagavan, whatever you do is a karma. If you do right action, it's a punya karma. Wrong action, papa karma. That's all. Understand? So it's not yoga. It's a physical exercise which we do. That also becomes just an exercise. The yoga asanam or prana ayamaha. Understand? Whether it is a breathing exercise or it's a physical exercise or if it's a mental exercise. What is meditation? If the end is not very clear. The end is clear, then you feel the value of values is understood, then everything you do becomes yoga. Yoga means what? Everything you do contributes for your mental purity. Therefore, it is yoga. Then that work becomes worship. The karma becomes puja. Okay, this is what I said last class. In two classes, I spoke. So just I wanted to give a fast thing. Then I talked about the bhakti, very important thing, because people have a lot of confusion about this bhakti. Okay, are there four paths? No, jnana yogaha, karma yogaha, raja yogaha, bhakti yogaha. Okay, now we understand. Our shastram prescribes, okay, only one thing. Moksha is the choiceless end, universal end. Why? No, I'm not a Hindu, so I don't believe it. If you don't believe it, this doesn't matter. Einstein will not be unhappy if I say, I don't believe E is equal to mc squared. He'll be least bothered. You know why? It's a fact. If you don't accept, you're a fool, okay? Don't accept it. And then, because it's a fact. And then any intelligent mind will not deny, okay, the facts. Similarly, moksha is a universal end. Who doesn't want moksha? Who doesn't want happiness? Who doesn't want everlasting happiness? Who doesn't want freedom from unhappiness? It's a universal end. And okay, a knowledge of the reality is like any, if H2O being water can be accepted, E is equal to mg squared can be accepted, okay, all that is, there is only one man, one reality is a fact, it's a verifiable fact, it can be accepted as well. It's a fact. Okay? And what is only in that happiness, is only in the home of knowledge, there's no way of understanding the heat without understanding the fire. It's a fact, isn't it? Similarly, this is also a fact. It's a universal fact. And the universally acceptable fact. And so here we say, therefore, knowledge is the only means for moksha. And for that knowledge, not many paths, okay? All the paths lead to the same goal. No. Knowledge is the only means for moksha. What? How many paths? This path, that path? How many paths? Okay. Then I said, and for that knowledge, because knowledge of the reality, the knowledge of anything rises from a thought in the mind. Therefore, knowledge of the reality also has to rise in the mind only as a thought. For we say, where can I see my face, reflection of my face? Where can you reflect? You have to see only a transparent mirror. I can't just go and stand in front of the wall. I want to see the reflection. Similarly, the reality of the whole universe is available for understanding only in the mind, as the very truth of the mind. You have no choice about it. Understand? Therefore, that's also available. And for that mind, therefore, that mind has, that is why mind is very, very important. Delicate darling, okay? Fondle, we have to fondle that baby, mind baby. And then it needs a lot of fondling and caring and attention, everything. So, all that you do is keep, that's why mental cleansing. That's why in our culture, beautiful, we always have anything you eat, have prayer in it. Why? Let my mind become cleansed. The food contributes not only for the formation of my body, but my thinking, my knowing, my desiring, my mind also is what? Modified from a food that I eat. Everything is contributes for the whole functioning, okay? The energy required for the mind, the pranas, the body, for everything the food I eat has to contribute. That is why whatever goes in, it goes with some mantra japa, Bhagavan Nama. So when you take the water, Achyutayanama, Anantayanama, Govindayanama, there's a shloka also we say that Achyutananta Govinda Namo Charna Bheshajat Nashyanti Sakala Rogaha Satyam Satyam Adamiham. We say that this Achyutananta Govinda, say these three words, medicine. For what? Nashyanti Sakala Rogaha, when all diseases get destroyed, if we utter the medicine of three words. This is a saying. Why? Everybody doesn't see the beauty of it. For cleansing the mind, we not always think of Bhagavan. It's all reminding yourself of Bhagavan means what? Reminding yourself of Bhagavan being there as the whole. And you have to live in conformity, live in tune with the Bhagavan, the order, for which you have to live a life of Dharma. There's no way of being close to Bhagavan. There's no way of being, you know, a pet. There's no way of pleasing Bhagavan, being close to Bhagavan, without living in tune with the order. And living in tune with the universal order means, I have to, as an individual human being, what I can do is, I have to live a life of values. There's no way of becoming closer to Bhagavan, being in tune with Bhagavan, without living a life of Dharma. Understand? That is why when to just to feel cleansed, we take it. Always when we take the water, we say Achyutaya Namaha, Anantaya Namaha, Go in a way. The water, the Bhagavan Nama cleanses the water. The water cleansed, the purified, sanctified water, when you take in, why? Just because it's a prayer. Hey Bhagavan, please see that I always live a life of Dharma. May use my will to do the right, to avoid the wrong, so that, understand? My mental purity is maintained. That is the meaning. That is why before eating, pray and eat. Before cooking, cook prayerfully. Not chanting shlokas mechanically. Understand? It's a prayerful attitude. Prayerful. And before eating, everything. Everything you take in, pray. Why? Because the prayer is what? Oh Lord, hey Bhagavan, hey Paramatman, please, no, bless me always with the clarity of right and wrong. Bless me with the clarity. So that, please bless me to use my buddhi shakti will to choose to do the right, to avoid the wrong, to refrain from wrong, so that my mental purity is maintained. This is a prayer. Now, why I'm saying this? That is very, very important here. And we say, so, how many paths are there now?
One.
Understand? Knowledge is the only means for moksha. And for to become mentally pure, living a life of karma yoga is the only means. Therefore, karma, living a life of karma yoga itself will not free you from unhappiness, free you from limitations. Living a life of karma yoga will prepare you for knowledge. The knowledge is freedom. So knowledge is the direct means for moksha. Living a life of karma yoga is an indirect means for moksha. There is no moksha. There is no happiness, everlasting happiness, without knowledge. Understand? But there is no knowledge is possible without mental purity, without yoga. Understand? That is why, which is supreme now? Which is infinite? There is no other thing. There is no such, many paths are not there. Now people have a doubt. Swaminiji, you talked about karma yoga, that is fine. Okay, karma yoga is indirect means for moksha. Knowledge is a direct means for moksha. Why? Knowledge is moksha. And for knowledge, I need the prepared mind for which I have to live a life of karma yoga. This is fine. In the last class, the question came, what about bhakti? That is when I explained to you very clearly. Bhakti is not a separate path. Bhakti is a common element. Understand? And Bhagavad Gita talks about four types of bhaktas. I told you, an artha bhaktaha, Arthi Bhaktaha, Jignasu Bhaktaha, and Jnani Bhaktaha. Who is a Jnani Bhaktaha? The Jnani Bhaktaha is an enlightened person, wise person, who has understood the reality of the whole universe as the self, as the very meaning of the word I. Therefore, in whose understanding, all that is there is only Bhagavan. There is no second thing other than Bhagavan. Such a person is a Jnani Bhaktaha. And he is free from all limitations. He is a Jivan Muktaha. He is free while living in this life here itself. Acha Jnani Bhaktaha is the best of the devotees. And all the devotees have to become one day or the other the best of the devotees. One day or the other. And then everyone is eligible, allowed, understand, aspiring for becoming the best of the devotees. So the whole life, all one's pujas, all one's prayers, all that one has accomplished in life, all of them have culminated in knowing the truth, understand? In knowing everything being Bhagavan. For him, God is not one. For him, gods are not many. For him, all that is there is only Bhagavan, only the Lord. He is a Jnani Bhaktaha. And for one to become the best of the devotees, a Jnani Bhaktaha, to have the knowledge of the reality, okay, one who knows the value of knowledge, knowing the whole Jagat as Ishvara, the Lord, okay, by understanding the reality of the universe, to become free from all limitations, one has to know, and therefore the one who knows the value of knowledge, one who has Purushartha Nischayaha, one who aspires for knowledge is said to be the aspirant. Okay? And who is the person? One who wants to know who Bhagavan is, how all that is, there's only Bhagavan, is a Jignyasu Bhaktaha. Jignyasu Bhaktaha is the real devotee. Therefore, Karma Yogi is a Jignyasu Bhaktaha. Jignyasu means one who wants to know who Bhagavan is, what the reality is. A Parambarul edhu, Irevan yaar, one who wants to know, understand? That person is a Jignyasu Bhaktaha, and Jignyasu Bhaktaha is what? Karma Yogi. He is a real devotee. So this real devotee who wants to know who Bhagavan is, who wants to know what the reality is, okay, Jignyasu Bhaktaha alone is qualified to become a Jnani Bhaktaha. The real devotee is the one who is eligible for becoming the best of the devotees, Jnani devotee. Understand? And to be the real devotee, to be aspiring for knowledge of the reality, one who should know the value of knowledge of the reality. Understand? For he has Purushartha Nischayaha. For him, Shreyas is the ultimate end. Moksha is the ultimate end. Whereas, the Artha Bhaktaha, number one, okay? Bhaktaha, Artha Bhaktaha, and Artha Bhaktaha, one who seeks Bhagavan's help and grace only to solve his problems in life. Okay? That is, he worships, he thinks of Bhagavan. He hardly has time to think of Bhagavan, And he is able to think of Bhagavan only when he goes through lot of problems in life. And such a devotee is a distressed devotee, artha bhaktaha. And other devotee, arthi bhaktaha, one who seeks Bhagavan's grace only for accomplishing artha kamas, security and pleasures. These two people, the artha bhaktaha and arthi bhaktaha, they are religious people. Why? They pray to Bhagavan, they worship Bhagavan. Understand? But they are not spiritual. Why they are not spiritual? Because they do not have purushartha nischayaha. They do not know the end being mokshaha. They do not know the value of knowledge. They do not know the value of values. Understand? Therefore, they are not committed to the pursuit of knowledge. For them, the ultimate end in life is security and pleasures. Artha and kamaha are their ultimate goal. Such devotees are devotees. You don't say bad devotees or good devotees. You don't say anything. So, for them, ends are prayers, not the shreyas. For the artha bhaktaha and for the arthi bhaktaha, the end is only prayers, not the shreyas. Is it clear now? Therefore, this is, bhakti is not a separate path.
So shreyas means moksha?
No. Shreyas is moksha.
Shreyas
is moksha. Yeah, prayas means all the three. Artha, kama, dharma.
Just
together. Yeah, together we just give one name as prayas. And they're all, see, that is why we say here, these people, once a purusharta nischaya is there, naturally he'll become what? He jigyasa bhakta. Once purusharta nischaya is there, and he'll know the value of knowledge, and he will want to know. Once he wants to know, he becomes a jigyasa bhakta. Then his lifestyle changes, attitude changes, becomes a karma yogi. Understand? A real devotee. He becomes a different devotee, isn't it? That is why we say here, this is what one can, that's why, who is spiritual now? If purushartha nischayaha is not there, please understand. I don't deny, we have to worship, we have to pray, we have to go to temples, we have to, everything is fine. But how much ever you do, is only a karma. Please understand. Singing bhajans, reciting stotras, chanting mantras, going to the temples, doing abhishekam, performing fire rituals, all are good. But they all still know they are all karmas. But without the purusharta nischaya, how much ever you do, it is only a punya karma. How much ever we sing bhajans, how much ever we chant shlokas, we recite mantras, how many times we go for pilgrimages, visit the temples, without the purusharta nischaya, if we go and bathe in Ganga, Kashi, whatever we do, they're all kshetratanam, everything is only punya karma. It's good. It's a good, an action of good merit. Punya karma, definitely it will pay you good, pleasures and all that. But it is, if purushartha nischaya is not there, it is only karma, punya karma, it's not yoga. Understand? Even the worship becomes what? Only punya karma. It's not yoga. If the end is not very clear. Is it clear what I say?
Mm-hmm.
That is why there are only religious people, I said. That is why the Shastra introduction itself, only a person, a religious person, because of some punyam, when you stumble upon some class, some first exposure, and have purusharthas, and say, oh my God, there are four purusharthas, and what really I want in life is moksha, and that moksha is only in all knowing the reality. This understanding itself is what? Because of some punyam.
So
So, Swamini, Jnani Bhaktaha, can anybody attain to that level? No.
There are many people. That's why I'm saying, there are so many, many Jnani Bhaktas are there, but you can't see, you can't understand them whether they're Jnanis. Unless you are a Jnani, you can't understand that person is a Jnani. It's like, unless I have vision, I can't understand the other person. If I am blind, if you have good eyes and you see the sun, you describe the sun, how beautiful the sun is, you sing a song on sun, and I just, blind eyes, okay? And how can I know that you have vision? If I am blind, how can I know that you have vision of the sun? I should see through my eyes what the sun looks like. Then I can say, yes, the other person who is also seeing the sun like me. Understand? This is the problem. I tell you, we can never, never understand the person of visions, the depth of the vision of a Mahatma. Why? Because unless you are also the same depth of vision, you cannot know other person's arivin aalathai purinjikkunu sonna adhe alavukku aalamana aalndha arivu namakkum irukkum. You should have the vision to know whether the other person has the vision. Is it clear? This is the problem. Because people come and tell me, oh, no, they're all enlightened and realized souls. I have the other word, realized soul. She. Somehow they picked up this word somewhere. Realized soul. As if they're all, if you measure, no, he is a realized person, he is a realized soul. How do you know? Simply people talk about soul. Vague expressions. Think pani paakum. How can I know? Maybe realized person. May not be. But how can you say that? Understand, Kanna? That's the point. Now, why I'm saying, there are many people. But we can't know that. Unless you are. But there are Mahatmas. There's no doubt. There are many. Understand? That is why the class will help you to understand, even the teacher. Okay, now what I say, this is the very, very important thing. How the spiritual person, okay, see, this conversion should take place. I have been, and knowingly or unknowingly, knowing the value of values, or without knowing the value of values also, one might have been an ethical person or an unethical person. And okay, without being ethical or being ethical, one can be religious. You need not be religious also. Understand? But the spiritual person, this purushartha nischeha alone, the definiteness of the end, you know, ultimate end being moksha and the dharma of knowledge alone converts one from simply being ethical and religious into a spiritual person. Okay? First one has to become a spiritual person to start the study of the Shastra. Why? Because Shastra has to serve, no, as a means of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's a difference now. Who is a spiritual person? Who is a religious person? Who is an ethical person? So all these things, going to the temples, everything is a karma. Understand? So bhakti, what is bhakti? You express your gratitude to Bhagavan in all these forms. Okay? Go to the temple, the abhishekam, perform a ritual, fire ritual, or singing, chanting, everything. That's fine. Purushartha is just there.
Swami, that is, ethical person is not necessarily a spiritual person.
No. Ethical person need not be religious also.
Right. But a spiritual person is an
ethical and religious.
And religious. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That is the beauty. Understand? These are things to become very, very clear. And next, today's matter, let me come to the point now. Gee, always the time just flies. And I want to say too many things. I must see the old things. Anyway, so what is, now people are, what is the relevance of meditation? Okay. How relevant is meditation? Meditation is just a mental activity. Understand? When you do, suppose worship, in fact for us, the puja itself, people think meditation means you have to sit closing your eyes on something. Of course, sitting quietly in a place and then keeping your eyes closed, focusing attention on something, that's a meditation. I don't say that. No. But for us, if you simply practice to focus your attention on a given object for a length of time, every day, okay, and that object has nothing to do with this, without purusharth nischaya, there's no knowledge of, value of knowledge. If a person doesn't have the, does not know the value of knowledge, or Bhagavan, nothing is there, simply I practice. Why? To free myself from stress, to relax. If it's practice, it is only called taming of the mind. Okay? It is not meditation. Or I can say, it is just an exercise, mental exercise, practiced to develop one's concentration. Understand? Mm-hmm. I tell you, in concentration, in contemplation, then in meditation, no, one thing is common. What? Concentration is a mental activity. Meditation also is a mental activity. In both, one thing is common. What the one thing is common? Attention of the mind is focused on a given object for a length of time. ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட நேரம் மனதின் கவனத்தை ஒரே பொருளில் நிறுத்துதல் is what? Is a concentration, okay? Both actions, both meditation and concentration, this happens. Attention of the mind is focused on a given object for a length of time. But what is the difference? If the object of meditation is, suppose I tell you, if purusharth nischaya is not there, if the knowledge is not the ultimate goal, then definitely object of meditation cannot be something connected to Bhagavan. Mm. You see, okay, whatever is object of meditation, there's only concentration. If the object of meditation is a name of the Lord or as anything which stands as a symbol for Bhagavan the whole, understand, because you don't know Bhagavan yet. Ultimately you have to understand Bhagavan being the whole. But now, how can you meditate upon the Lord when you do not know who Bhagavan is? Our Swamiji says, come on, all of you sit straight now, close your eyes. Close your eyes, all of you, focus your attention on Gagabuga. How will you know what Gagabuga is? How can you cannot meditate on something which you do not know? If I tell you, all of you meditate on rambutan, at least Sri Lankans will know what rambutan is. And immediately you can close your eyes and meditate upon rambutan. Suppose Rajniji will not know, I will not know, Mommy will not know, Amma will not know. Okay, you will all have meditating on rambutan. Maybe he also won't know. Yashoda also may not know. Okay? Or suddenly Sri Lankan people will go for meditation.
We are going to get rambutan for the next class.
We don't want people to be given to rambutan, no? Okay.
Offer is something to eat.
No, I just like the name rambutan. And it is like red, thin, red, very red, the beautiful red color. Anyway, now what I'm saying, how can you meditate on something which you do not know? Okay? Therefore, you cannot meditate on Bhagavan. Why? You do not know. You have understood the fact, all that is there is the manifestation of only reality. The whole Jagat is what? The entire manifestation is Bhagavan. But how all that is as only Bhagavan, it is said to be understood. Therefore, and second thing, the mind, which is also part of the whole, how can it meditate upon the whole? Understand? Difficult. Therefore, you need to have a symbol which stands for the whole Bhagavan. Symbol. Okay, one wave can become an object of meditation for another wave which stands for the whole ocean. Understand? That is why we always have many mantra or a nama, name, Nama Rama or Krishna or any mantra, and this is Nama Shivaya, Namo Narayanaya, any one name which stands for the name, which stands for the Lord, the whole, which is inclusive of me. Understand? Or a form. Always name or a form. Okay? Sound, mantra or form. So meditating upon an object, okay, which stands for, which symbolizes Bhagavan the whole, is what? Real meditation. The meditation, okay? If the object of meditation is, understand, is anything other than, if it doesn't symbolize Bhagavan, doesn't stand for Bhagavan the whole, it is only concentration. The object of meditation stands for Bhagavan, symbolizes Bhagavan, it is meditation. Understand? And the object of meditation can become a symbol of the Lord the whole only if there is Purushartha Nischaya. Only if knowledge is the ultimate end of human life.
What about the formless symbol? Formless, God.
I'm coming to the point.
Okay.
Understand? A form means what? I mean, anything symbol.
That's the next stage, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had to go systematically.
Yes.
But I want to want to understand these two. Understand? Meditation. So, meditation, okay, is also a mental activity. Meditation also is what? Manasam karma. Mental activity. Is it clear now? Now if you do, and meditation will help you to have mental steadiness. So meditation is for mental steadiness, karma yoga is for mental purity. But meditation becomes, will contribute for mental steadiness, and meditation becomes yoga only if the object of meditation is something which stands for Bhagavan. Simply without having Purusharth Nischaya, without knowing the value of knowledge, without knowing the importance of things, simply I go attend the meditation classes, I go, they are not meditation. Understand? It's a mental exercise practiced for some temporary relaxation and freedom, okay, stress free, to become stress free. Is it clear now? The next one more step, I tell you, here. Okay, then that means if for mental steadiness, to become the agitated, disturbed mind, okay, for the mind to become quiet, calm and steady, I had to practice meditation. That's fine. And our Shastram says, even the puja what we do, it can become a meditation. The puja involves threefold activity. What is that? Kayikam karma, physical activity. Vachikam karma, oral activity. Manasam karma, okay, mental activity. Physical, oral, mental activities are involved. Kayikam, vachikam, manasam karma. So in kayik, when you do physically, suppose you keep the altar in front of you and sit, bring the flowers, sit with the flowers and bring all the fruits and things, etc. Keep in front all the naivedyams, you cook. They're all what? When you cook prasadams, all kayakam karma. Understand? Physical activity. And cook, bring them all and sit there. And you do, and everything is ready. Before, you have to prepare. See, the act of worship consists of many units of actions. Performing a puja means what? You had to cut a lot of things. Cook prasad, get things and cook and keep everything, bring flowers, go to shop, with coconut, arrange everything, you know, so many things. And you have brought everything, you have organized. And you kept everything there and then start the puja. Okay, and then there again take the flower and sitting you offer it there. As you are offering, you utter the name. Suppose you do archana. Akshatara, pushpam you take and you say, Om Achyutaya Namaha, Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhusudanaya Namaha. This is what? Physical activity. Nama, Uchcharam is what? Oral activity. Keshavaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Madhusudanaya Namaha, Trivikramaya Namaha, Rishikeshaya Namaha, Padmanabhaya Namaha. When you say, this utterance is what? Vachikam karma. When you are doing this physical, when you are chanting the mantra, when you do this, look at Tamil, you can say, no problem. What do you say? Muruha potri, Kanda potri, Kananba potri, Vinayaha potri, whenever you say anything you say, When you do the karma physically and orally, if the mind should be there, okay, that is very important. Mind goes somewhere, and mechanically, I've been doing for many years. I know by heart everything. Mechanically, mind goes somewhere means it's not meditation. Understand? Mm-hmm. So when you do sit for the puja, that's why. See that whenever puja is done, see that you are relaxed to become more relaxed. So you sit and calm. That is why we don't hog, entertain. The cool kalampana, when you see the too much crowd and then shouting and noisy, getting noise and the prasa, sometimes too much, sometimes really you become disturbed. When you do the puja and see the mind must be there. Mind is only in nama, and so the attention, you do it carefully, you're doing it. You're offering the flower, not in a hurry. So in physical activity, mind is involved. When you're cooking, also your mind is not thinking of anything else other than cooking. With prasadam cooking. Just that my attention should be in what you're doing. Then it becomes what? So in physical activity, mind is involved. In oral activity, also mind is involved. And mental activity, manasam karma. But in mental activity, body and speech are not involved. Understand? In the speech, in the oral activity, in physical activity, mind is involved. But in mental activity, body and speech are not involved. Mind alone is involved. What is manasam karma? Either you visualize the form of the Lord. Suppose Krishna Jayanti comes. First Ganesh Chaturthi comes. Or you can see the form of the Lord. For us, Ganesha means not simply one big-bellied god, okay? For the Ganeshas, Bhagavan the whole. But we have a symbol. Gajananaha, okay? Elephant-faced. Vakratundaha, Ekadantaha, Lambodaraha, Namushikavahana. You just visualize the form. Okay? That form is what? With the limbs. The form with the limbs is called Pratima. Okay? Savayava Murtihi Pratima. A form without limbs, Shivalingam. What is there to think? Just one Bandlingam, one Avadayar, one Peetam. No limbs. It's called Pratika. A form without Salagrama or Shivalingam, a form which stands for the Lord without limbs is called Pratika. But a form with limbs is called Pratima. Savayava Murtihi Pratima, Niravayava Murtihi Pratika. Now I say Om. Om is what? It's not a form symbol, it's a sound symbol of the Lord. It's also Pratika. Understand? So Salagrama, and when you put the Purnakumbha, Kalasham, or Shivalingam, they all Pratikas of the Lord. Limbless forms of the Lord. Forms which stand for the symbols of the Lord. Like Ganapati, Subramanya, all other forms are what? Krishna, the forms, no? Those forms with the limbs are, forms with the limbs which stand for the symbol of the Bhagavan, they are known as Pratimas. And Om is the sound symbol of the Lord. Understand? So you can visualize the form. Or just the Nama, no form. Best is what? Nama Japa. Okay? Mantra Japa. So Japaha, I'm going to tell you what Japa is now. So just Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Or Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. Just only one name of the Lord. You can choose any name of the Lord. Okay? Any Nama of the Lord. Definitely be definite. Vishnu will not be unhappy if you say Om Namah Shivaya. And if you say Nau Namo Narayanaya, Shiva will not be upset. Mm-hmm. Okay, they are quite happy. Okay, they have no problem. They will be very happy. And then you can choose only one Nama. All of them will be happy with any Nama because all of them are one and the same. I'm going to talk about all those things. You'll understand what we mean by Shiva, Vishnu, and later on, not now. Time is not enough for me. Okay. So what I'm saying, when you chant a mantra, okay, mentally, what do you do physically? Nothing. As you chant the mantra, instead of chanting it orally, you can just chant mentally one nama. I chant orally, you try to do it mentally. Om Namo Narayanaya. 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 Okay, why I'm saying here? You chant mentally, okay? the tongue, tip of the tongue will try to dance inside. But there will be a time, as you practice, practice for long, sometime, you can, without moving your tongue, you can mentally chant the nama. It's called manasam japaha. Understand? This japa, body is not involved, even speech is not involved. We chant the mantra mentally. It is, understand? This manasam japa, mental activity. It's mental worship. In fact, meditation is called mental worship. Okay? So in all the, when you, whether you chant the name of the Lord mentally, or chant the name of the Lord orally, or you do any karma physically also, doing namaskaram, okay, doing pradakshinam, all physical activities. But in all of them, mind should be in one thing. Then the kaikam karma, vachikam karma, also become what? Manasam karma, if you are focused. Attention does not get distracted to too many things. Attention is in what you are doing, then in the puja becomes what? Meditation. In the beginning, very difficult to first to sit. Because that's why we are given also to puja. Understand? And one more thing, I want to tell you here, important thing. And here, as a spiritual aspirant, the first step, which is pre-preparation for meditation, and also which itself becomes meditation, that is japaha. Japam nila, japaha. Japaha means what? Repeated utterance of one mantra or one nama is a japaha. Mean thirumba thirumba ore namave solludal japam. Ore mantrate solludal japam. This japa is a big discipline, great discipline. In our culture, japam is very, very important. Now, see, you know the connection, you know why you are doing what you are doing. You know the significance of importance of japa. You know the value of japa. Because the end is very clear. Okay, the mind is running everywhere. To bring the attention of the mind, okay, be the effort, just make it very simple, clean. Do what is to be done, things will be taken care of. That's the japa. Just as I told you, okay, japam. Japam itself is what? Very good. And the next question comes, mantra. What is a mantra? We say repeated utterance of a mantra or the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord becomes a mantra. What is a mantra? Mananat trayate iti mantraha. Definition. That which has the capacity to protect the one who repeatedly utters it, or who meditate upon it, who enquires into the meaning of it, is called mantra. So the meaning of the word itself is such that it has the capacity to protect you. A meaningful word or a sentence which has the capacity to protect the one who recites it is a mantra. One who repeatedly utters it. That is why if you say, okay, if you say, Nemo, suppose we say, Rama, 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 what's the mantra? It's the one word. One word becomes a mantra. Why? It's a meaningful word. You can't just take some word, jhan, 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 jhan. Why? The word should, the meaning of the word should be such, it should stand for, it should imply Bhagavan the whole. எந்த ஒரு சொல்லின் பொருள் அனைத்துமாக உள்ள இறைவனை குறிக்கின்றதோ அந்த சொல் தான் எனது மீனிங்ஃபுல் வேர்ட் விச் பிகம்ஸ் அ மந்த்ரா. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்? நோ, ஐ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் சிம்பிளி பிகாஸ் பீப்புள் சே ஓகே இஃப் யூ கேன் அட்டர் ஒன் வேர்ட் மீன்ஸ் வாட், வை கேன் டேக் சம் மைக் 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 சிம்பிளி பீப்புள் கம் ஆல் சச் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் கம் வில் கம். Understand why? Because the word Rama is a meaningful word. It implies, I'm going to explain to you later on how the word Rama means the whole, how the word Krishna means the whole, how Shiva means the whole, how why Bhagavan is called Harihi. Every word in Sanskrit word has a meaning. Implies. Understand? Highly meaningful words. Why Govinda is a mantra? Because the names of names which stand for the Lord also go with the culture. No? That's why it is meaningful. That is why not simply uttering any one word. Okay? That's why repeated that which a meaningful word or a sentence which stands for Bhagavan, which implies Bhagavan the whole, which means Bhagavan the whole, and which has the capacity to protect the one who recites it or, I mean, repeatedly utters it, is a mantra. Irevane kurikkinra sollo vakyamo thirumba thirumba sollum poludhu kaakkinra thanmai udayadho adu mantra. Is it clear? And we do the japa of what? Repeated utterance of a mantra. Now you know what mantra means, you know what japa is. So mantra japaha is, you know, whether it is oral japa or mental japa, manasam japaha or vachikam japaha, understand, still it is effective. It will contribute for mental steadiness. Okay, alaipayu manattai ஒரு இடத்தில் நிலைக்க செய்யும். நோ தி வேல்யூ ஆஃப் ஜப்பா டுடே.